Is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Beis, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, two lines from the bottom. Nikdam Roishai. We learned in the Mishnah that one of the things that disqualifies a lulav is Nikdam Roishai. If the head of the top of the lulav is, so to speak, broken off. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, Loishan Ala Nikdam. When is a lulav disqualified if the top is broken off? Avon nizdak, if the top of the lulav, the middle leaf, very important to familiarize ourselves, the lulav has the middle leaf, which is called the tiyomis. It's a double leaf, which is the middle leaf, which is, as we will learn today in the shir, a very important part in determining the kashrus of a lulav. Nizdak, that leaf is split kosher. Ask the Gemara, v'nizdak kosher, if it's split, it's kosher. And again, as a machlokes rishonim, what nizdak means. Some say nizdak, that the Gemara referred to here, is that most of the leaves are split, and some rishonim say that nizdak is referring to the middle leaf. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'tanya lulav kofef, a lulav that's bent over, which we see in diagram 158 on page 53. Now there's a very, very big machloikus rishonim what the definition of lulav kofef is. Rashi seems to learn, and the Ran is much more explicit, as is shown in this diagram, that the top leaves are bent over. And the Gemara is saying that that type of a lulav, the Brice is telling us that that type of lulav is possible. This type of lulav is commonly known as a knepel. The Rosh says that this type of a lulav is kosher. He says when the Gemara says lulav kofuf, it means that the entire top of the lulav is bent. But if the top leaves are bent, it's kosher. Not only does the Rosh say that it's kosher, the Rosh says, oyev ani lotzeis bai. I like to use this kind of a lulav. Why does the Rosh like to use this kind of a lulav? Because the possibility of this opening up is very unlikely because it's bent over, so it keeps closed. As we're going to speak soon about a closed lulav, so the Rosh says, since when it's only the top leaves that are bent over, that it's not called a lulav akofof, so not only is it not possible, it's l'chatchila. And it's a machloikis hapoiskim, what to do. The Bach and Radvaz say that one should not use a knepel. There are other poskim that specifically say to use a knepel. The Chassam Sofer said used to use a knepel. However, the poskim say that there's a different type of knepel. See, in this knepel, the entire top is bending over. It's like a circle or a semicircle. That's when we have the Machloikus Rosh and Rav. But there's another type of knepel which is more like a Vav, where the top just juts out straight. There, many poskim say that that's actually preferable because it's not a knepel, because it's not bent over, but it has the advantages that you know it's going to stay closed. The Mishnah Berurah quotes those poskim. In fact, there are some poskim that go so far to say that one of the reasons people should avoid using a lulav that has the covering on the top, the koro, the mach, the different ways people call it, is because you don't know what's doing under it, and under it there may be a knepel, and according to the Ran, you're not yoitza with a knepel. The Chazanish and the Stipler used to take two lulavim. One lulav was not a knepel, because according to the Ran, it's not acceptable, and one lulav was dafka knepel, because the Rosh says, oyev ani lotzeis bai, I want to use a knepel. So they used to use both lulavim without having to avoid to be mekayim both the Ran and the Rosh. So ask the Gemara, Tanya lulav kofef, a bent over lulav, kovetz. So Rashi says, kovetz is a lulav that has thorns sticking out of it. Other Rishonim learn kovetz means that the lulav is shriveled up. We paskin both ways, that a lulav has thorns sticking out, or a lulav that shriveled up is possible. Okum doyma lamaga, if it's bent over like a sickle, we'll discuss that soon, possible. Charis, according to Rashi and most Rishonim, is that the lulav becomes so tough once the lulav remains on the tree for a couple of years, becomes so tough that it's not pliable. Charis posel, doimel charis, if it gets hard, but it's not completely hard, it's still somewhat pliable, kosher. Other Rishonim learn that charis means that the lulav got black. Again, we paskin like both shittas, that whether if the lulav is black or it's no longer pliable, it's posel. But the question here is, we started the shiur saying today the nizdak is kosher, and here says the brisa the nizdak saduk is posel. Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, the Ovid kihimnik. When is nizdak posel? That it looks like a himnik, which we see in diagram 159. And there's a machloikis how to learn himnik. Himnik is certainly that it's a Y, that it looks like a Y, that the lulav is split on top. There's a machloikis, Rashi and the Rishonim, when does a himnik become posel? Rashi says that a himnik is posel if that's the way the lulav was from when it was created. If this lulav always was split, then it's a posel lulav. But let's say the lulav was first kosher, and then it split. According to Rashi, that would be a kosher lulav. Most Rishonim, and that's the way we paskin, disagree with Rashi, and they say that even if the lulav started off not as a himnik, and then became a himnik, it's still posel. And again, in himnik, there are two ways of learning. Rashi seems to learn that himnik is that if it's split all the way down, till the shedra, to the spine. Other Rishonim, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch says, and we see it in the diagram, that even if the tap is split, but it's very noticeably split, that's already called a himnik. Okum doimel amagel, we just said that if the lulav is bent over like a sickle, it's posel. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, loy amarn el lefonav. When is a lulav posel when it's bent? And when it's bent to the front. That means, as we know, the lulav has two sides to it. There's the back, which is the spine, and the other side, which are the leaves. Says the Gemara, if the lulav is bent towards the front, towards the sides of the leaves, that's called bent. Aval achrof, but if it's bent in the direction where the spine is, briyasihu. That's the way lulavim are, and it's a kosher lulav. Amar Rav Nachman, litzdadim. What is if it's bent to the side? And we see a diagram for this in 162. Amar Rav Nachman, litzdadim. If it's bent to the side, kilafon of dami. It's considered like it's bent to the front, and it's posel. The amrilei, and others say that it's like bent to the back and it's kosher. The Shulchan Aruch says that if it's bent to the side, it's posel, just like when it's bent to the front. But I found it very interesting, Tshuvas Harmo, and the Hilchas Ketana says this also. What will be the halacha if you have a lulav that's bent in the wrong direction, it's bent lefonof, and they have some sort of a machine that you could put it into and straighten it out? Will the lulav be kosher? So they paskin that if you put it into this type of a contraption, and when you now see the lulav, you can never tell that this lulav was once bent, then it's a kosher lulav. And this is not a new invention. The Ramad discusses this already. Ketanis discusses it. Interestingly, just to make an observation, the Gemara here is saying that a lulav that's bent in the wrong direction is possible. The Gemara does not give any heter for a bent lulav. So when people are looking for lulavim, the first thing you should look for is a straight lulav, because this, the Gemara says, is possible without any heter. The other things that the Gemara looks for, we'll see how essential they are. Vamarava, high lulava the soul of the had hutzah. If the lulav comes up on one side, balmumhu apostle. So there are three pshatim in lulava the soul of the had hutzah. Rashi learns that it only has leaves on one side of the shedra. Other Rishonim learn that it has leaves on both sides, but the leaves are not double leaves. We know that all the leaves of the lulav are double. Here it only has single leaves. And yet a third shot is that it has only one leaf on each side. The lulav is supposed to have many leaves on each side. This only has one leaf on one side. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down all three pshatim. That all three of these types of defects that we just identified pass a lulav. However, I saw an interesting thing from the Achrayim. Let's say you'll only have these type of lulav. You have three lulavim, and each one of them has one of these disqualifications. So the Chaim say, take all three lulavim, because according to each other rishon, that lulav is acceptable. So if you use all three lulavim, you know that you at least had a kosher lulav. Nifrit for aleph. So the Mishnah discussed, just to review what it said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about nifrit for aleph and nifridu aleph. Nifrit su aleph, the Mishnah said it's possible. What does nifrit su aleph mean? That the leaves got detached from the shedra and you tied them back on. Amar papa, nifrit su, what does nifrit su mean? That they got detached and the avki chafu. And then you tie back together like one would make a broom. How a broom's made, they used to take leaves and tie them together and you have a broom. That's possible. Nifridu means differed afrudi, that they became separated, that they didn't get detached, they just bent over, and then in the Mishnah of the Machloikas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should tie it up, and according to Rabbanan, it's kosher. Boy, wrap up. Nechelku ha-tiyoimis mahu. While be the halacha, if the tiyoimis is split. Toshma, the Omar, Ramosan, Omar of Yeshua ben Levi, nitla ha-tiyoimis, if the tiyoimis is missing, posel. My lav, says the Gemara, hu adin, nechelka. That the same din is if it's split, says the Gemara Loi, Nitla Shani. Nitla is worse than Nechlka. And therefore he says, Nitla, if it's removed, it's possible. Nechlka, it's not possible. The Chosile. Because if it's missing, it's Chosile. Ikadamri, Amri Shubalevi, Nechlka Tioimus, if it's split, Nasa Kamisha Nitla Tioimus, it's as if it's removed, or possible. So the Kapis Tamarim asks, if Nechlka has the same din as Nitla, so he should have told us the din of Nechlka, which is a bigger chiddush, and we would have understood Nitla. So the Kapis Tamarim explains that Nechlka may be less of a chiddush, because if it's missing, it's missing, but if it's there, it looks a lot more ugly. It's not hador. A mele, we might have thought that Nechlka is possible, not Nitla. So he needs to tell us the halacha both on Nitla and Nechlka. So a very big machlokes rishonim, very relevant la'aloch l'maisa, what nechlaka tiyoimus means. The Rif learns that nechlaka tiyoimus means that the lulav, that most of the leaves of the lulav, which we just said are double leaves, are split. But if most of the leaves are not split, makes no difference which leaves are and which leaves aren't, the lulav is a kosher lulav. Rashi says that nechlaka means that it's split all the way down to the shedra, to the spine. The Ran learns that it's split, or that most of the top leaf is split. And the Ritva, this is the Ritva that the B'nai Torah Machmer on, says that if it's even split a drop, that's already considered Nechlaka Tiyoimus. For the record, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rif, that Nechlaka Tiyoimus means that if most of the leaves are split, if most of the leaves are not split, it's not considered Nechlaka Tiyoimus. The Ramah paskins like the Ran, that if it's split, most of the area from the shedra to the top is split, that's called Nechlaka Tiyoimus. But the B'nai Torah, the Mishnah Berurah, says we should be machmon for the Ritva. And in that itself, there's a machloikus, what does the Ritva mean? The Taz says that even the Ritva who's machmer is only machmer if it's split more than a tefach. If it's split less than a tefach, it's still kosher l'chatchila according to Ritva. The Chaya Adam disagrees. The Chaya Adam says that according to Ritva, even if it has the smallest opening, that's already considered nechlaka tiyoimus. But the Gra, very interesting Gra, the Gra explains that the Ritva is not really a fourth shita. The Ritva really halachically agrees with the Ran. That what is the definition of nechlaka tiyoimus? That the top is mostly split. Just the Ritva says, so why should we be machmer that it shouldn't be open at all? Because the Ritva says it's very likely that if it's open a drop, it's going to open up to where it's possible. That's the Gra's explanation of the Ritva. So I saw from Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, the Reish Bez in Yerushalayim, he says that according to the Gra, if you have a lulav that's only open a drop, what, even according to Ritva, you have a very posh eitzah. Glue it together. The lulav is kosher. The Ritva says that what's the entire problem with this lulav? That it may split
to the degree that it'll become possible. But right now it's not possible. So if you glue it together, that will prevent it from opening it more, from opening more, and the lulav will be kosher l'chatchila. But again, it's very interesting. The way we're learning, it's only according to the Chai Adam, according to Ritva, that says that a lulav that's open at all on top is possible. Yet everybody looks for a completely closed lulav. I'm not saying you shouldn't, I do also. But a straight lulav, the Gemara didn't give any hetter for. So when you're looking at lulavim, it's probably more important to look for a straight lulav than for a lulav that's completely closed, because to have a lulav that's open, a tefach, that's already unlikely. Oh, ask the Ritva. What is the difference between Himnik and Nechlakat Yaimis? Excellent. Ritva's kasha. So he gives a few answers. It says it really depends on what you type Shnistik. If you'll say Nizdik means most of the leaves, so we're talking about two different subjects. Nizdik is talking about all the leaves, and Nechlakat Yaimis is speaking about only the middle leaf. So it's different subjects. That's one teretz the Ritva gives. Another
himself,
what?
But the Ritva himself holds even the Gemashim.
Yeah, but the Ritva is answering Lotos Rishonim. But the Ritva is going to learn that Nizdak was referring to most of the leaves, and Nechlakat Yoimus is referring to the top leaf. So it's two different subjects. Nizdak can be talking about all the other leaves besides the middle leaf, and Nechlakat Yoimus is talking about the middle leaf. So it's totally two different subjects. But even according to Rishonim, that say Nizdak is referring to the middle leaf, so what is Himnik and what is Nechlakat Yoimis? Very good question, according to those Rishonim. So the Mefarshim answer that according to what we said before, we could answer Nechlakat Yoimis happened afterwards, after the lulav grew. Himnik is from when the lulav grew that way. There's another interesting machlokes, the psul of Himnik. Machlokes Magen Avraham and Rekiv Eiga. Is the psul of Himnik a psul in the lulav itself, or is the psul of Himnik a psul in Hadar? Because many Mefarshim say that the requirement for Hadar is only the first day. So if we say that it's a psul in the lulav itself, you would not be allowed to use such a lulav all 7 days of Yontif. If it's a psul in Hadar, it would only be possible on the first day of Yontif, not the rest of Yontif.
Does the same question apply to Nechlakah?
The same question applies to Nechlakah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So Rabbi Yehuda said that if the lulav, the leaves are not separated, but they started bending away, you should tie it together. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishnah Rabbi Tarfin, Kapos Tamarim. The lulav should be tied together. Kafos, and if they start imhayaparid, Kafos means tie together. Imhayaparid yukseno. You should tie it together if it becomes separate. Before we begin the next words of the Gemara, we have to introduce the Gemara with the way the Rambam introduces the Gemara. The Rambam tells us that everybody knows that the Dalaminim that we use, the Esrig and the Lulav and the Adasim and the Aravis, those are the Dalaminim. From the time of Yeshua ben Nun, we have a Mesoira, a tradition of Klal Yisrael, that those are the Dalaminim. However, says the Rambam, our Gemara is trying to see if we could prove from the Psukim that discuss and describe the Dalaminim that that is what the Lulav is. Says the Rambam, if we couldn't prove from the Pasuk, we should still take a Lulav, because that's our Mesoira. But the Gemara is going to prove from the Pasuk that when the Torah says Kapis Tamarim, it means what we know as the Lulav. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Memai the Hapis High Kapis Tamarim, the Lulav, who maybe, who says that the Kapis Tamarim means the Lulav? Eima Charusa, maybe means the Charusa which we discussed on Tapir Amid, where the leaves are too tough to bend. Answers the Gemara, Beinakafis, if the leaves are so hard that they're not pliable, they can't be tied together. And the Torah says kapis tamarim v'leka. Ve'emo ufsa, maybe it means the trunk of the palm tree. Says the Gemara, which is certainly tied together, it's one piece. Says the Gemara, kafis mahai dekle ikaparid. A lulav could be something that could be tied together and that's, or not tied together. Ve'hai kafis v'oimid l'oilam. A tree trunk is one piece. It can't be sometimes tied together and sometimes not tied. By definition, it's one piece of wood. Ve'ema kufra. Ask the Gemara, maybe it means the lulav, but it's still, when it's a little older and has these thorns. Says the Gemara, Amar Abai, Dorcheh Adachi Noyam, V'chol Nasi V'seh Shon Ksiv. The Torah's mitzvahs are pleasant. To take a lulav that has thorns is not pleasant. So therefore, that can't be what a lulav is. It's a very nice word from the Chassam Sofer, Pidrush. He says, Drachel means a wide road. That means the Talmid HaChachamim. Drachel, the ways of the Talmid HaChachamim, Darchei Noyim. Talmud Chacham is always supposed to be pleasant. Nesiva says already a narrow path. That's the way of the Amaratzim. Says the Torah, Drachel, Darchei Noyim, Bechon Nesiva Ser, the Drachim, the Talmid HaChachamim, and the Nesivas, the Amaratzim, Shalom, have to be in peace with each other. Amalei Ravah Tesvala Ravina, Vemit Tarta Kapi the Tamri. Maybe what the lulav is, you should take two bundles of dates. What grows on the lulav tree? Dates. So maybe the Torah says you should take bundles of grapes. It says the Gemara Kapois Ksif. The Torah uses a Lashon Yochid, and since the Torah uses a Lashon Yochid, means that we only take one bundle. So it says the Emechat. So take one bundle. So it says Lahu Kaf Karele. That would be called a Kaf. The Torah says Kapois. Says Taisvis. We're following the way the Torah spells the word. But didn't we have early in the Masechta, Machlekes V'yesh Eim L'Mikra, Yesh Eim L'Masar, do we follow the pronunciation? Why over here are we following the spelling? So Tosfos leaves it with a kasha. Daruch L'Ner says, because the Pasuk before speaks about the Esrig. The Esrig, the Torah says, pre-Eitz Adar. It's in the singular. So that tells us that the Lulav should also be in the singular, and that's how we know it must be by the process of elimination, that what is the product of the date tree that we use for lulav, what we know as the lulav. So we learned in the Mishnah, Sinei Harabazel, Kshera, that Sinei Harabazel, Akasha. Amar Abaya, Loi Shonu, El Shiroish Shalzeh Magil Tzadikri Shalzeh. As we learned in the Mishnah, that Sinei Harabazel have very short leaves. Says Abaya, even though they have short leaves, they're kosher as long as one leaf reaches the next leaf. If one leaf doesn't reach the next leaf, possible. Tanya nam yahachi, and so we learned in the Braisa, Sinei Harabazel psula, that Sinei Harabazel apostle. Ask the Gemara v'nantanan sheira, we learned Sinei Harabazel kosher, al shmamino, kabayo, shmamino, that there's a difference if they reach or don't reach. Vika, the Ramalei Mirma. Some come to a biased conclusion through a kash and a teretz. Tanan, in our Mishnah, we learned Sinei Harabazel kosher. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, yet we learned in another braisa psula. Answers the Gemara, I'm a bai like kasha. Kansha Rosh Shazah Megillah Tzadik Shazah. If one reaches the next, it's kosher. Kansha Ein Rosh Shazah Megillah Tzadik Shazah. If it doesn't reach, it's possible. Ask the Kappas tomorrow. Usually when the Gemara gives us two versions, there's a difference between the two versions. What's the halachic difference between the two versions? Both versions come to the same conclusion, that one leaf reaches the next one, it's kosher, and if it doesn't reach the next one, it's not kosher. Says the Kappas Tamarim, a very nice teretz. The second version, the Gemara had a kasha. The Mishnah says kosher, the Braisa says posel. So how do I reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? So this is the teretz. Let's say I'll have a different teretz. Let's have a different way of reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa. So I don't have to say this teretz. And then maybe, even if it doesn't reach, even if the leaves don't reach a kosher. According to the first version of the Braisa of the Gemara, Abaya set down a rule that if the leaves don't reach each other, it's possible. Makes no difference if you'll have another kosher teretz to the kosher. This rule remains a rule. Other Rishonim say that what is the problem with Sinei Harabazel? Sinei Harabazel don't give fruit. These are palm trees that don't give fruit, and that's why they're possible. Which leads itself to a very famous halachic discussion. There's a lulav that's called the Dekel HaKanari. It's a very famous controversy in halacha. The Dekel HaKanari are palm trees that never give dates. They don't give any fruit. They're just used for beautification. They're very nice trees that are planted just as ornamentation. And it turns out that those lulavim are very nice lulavim. And the question was, are those lulavim kosher or not? Ramosha said the Dekel HaKanari is a possible lulav. He says that since this is the type of a palm tree that never gave fruit, that is not called a kosher lulav and should not be used. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagreed. He held that you're allowed to use a Dekel HaKanari. Now, in the lulav tree, and we try to avoid a dekel canary. You have to know how to identify if you have a dekel canary, but maybe that's why you need a hechsher on the lulav. But most people avoid a dekel canary. The interesting thing, in the date tree itself, there are two types of date trees. There's a male and a female date tree. And the way they grow is that all fruit, all dates grow off the female. But you have to take a part of the male and put it on top of the female tree, and that's how the tree is able to produce fruit. So most Paiskin Paskin, and actually that's the way most people act, that even though the Zohar, the male date tree, doesn't itself give off any fruit, we use for a lulav. Most nice lulavim come from the male. Even though it doesn't give off any fruit, since it's necessary to help produce fruit, it's considered a fruit-producing date tree, and it's kosher for lulav. However, the Michas HaLazer quotes his father, the Darkei Tshuva, who said that he was makpid to use a female date tree for lulav. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Merian, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, V'amalei Tani Rav Ben Meri Mishum Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shnei Tamaris Yesh B'Gei Ben Hinnom. There's a place in Eretz Yisrael called Gei Ben Hinnom, and there are two date trees. V'oila Oshim B'neihem, and smoke comes out from between these two trees. V'zeo Shishaninu, and this is what we refer to the Tzina HaRabazel K'sheirois, that these date trees are the Tzina HaRabazel. V'zui Pesach Shel Gehenim. This is one of the places where there's an entrance to Gehenim. So Mefarshim say a lot of pshatim homiletically to this Gemara. One pshat is the date is very sweet. Usually when we speak about dvash, honey in the Torah, it refers to dvash tamarim, date honey. If somebody wants the life should be sweet, he's always looking to indulge himself in this world, zui piskush gehenim. That's how he's going to end up in Gehenim. Another pshat is that the Gemara says that rishoyim afilu piskush gehenim. Rishoyim, even when they're dying, they're by the gates of Gehenim, einan chayzer mitshuva. That's the Gemara says, sinei har barzel. Somebody who's such a rasha, that even when he's at the footsteps of death, he's still barzel, he's tough, refuses to do tshuva, piskush shel gehenim, he'll end up in Gehenim. The Chassam Sofer explains the Gemara this way. The Chassam Sofer says, there's two ways of understanding the Chassam Sofer. What do we say is the characteristic of Tzina Har Basel? The Rosh Zeh Eina Magil Tzadik Rishol Zeh. One leaf doesn't touch the other leaf. The Gemara is saying that if somebody doesn't care about the next person, everybody's busy with themselves. Rosh Rishol Zeh Eina Magil Tzadik Rishol Zeh. One doesn't care about the other. Zui Pesach Rishol Gehenim. That's how somebody will end up in Gehenim. Another pshat they say in the same vein is that the Tamid HaChachamim Tzadikim are compared to lulav. The pasuk says, Tzadik Katoma Yifroch. If Rosh Shel Zeh ain't a Mikriyeh Shel Ekri Shel Zeh, if people don't protect the covet, the honor of Tamid HaChachamim, Zu Pesach Shel Gehenim. That person will go to Gehenim. But then I saw a last pshat that I'll say, as we just said, the lulav is compared to Tzadikim, Tzadik Katoma Yifroch. If the lulavim are like Barzel, if the tzaddikim are like iron, that they fight amongst themselves, zui piskush gehenim, they will end up in Gehenim. So we learned in the Mishnah, lulav sheyesh by shlosh tfachim, that if lulav has four tfachim, three tfachim, kedel in a neighbor, that you could shake it, it's kosher. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, shir hadas varova, the shir for the hadasim and the arovas, shloshim, are three tfachim. For lulav, in the shir of the lulav, is four tefachim, kidei shei lulav yoytzim and hadas tefach, that the lulav should be a tefach above the hadasim. For a panach amar Rav Yehuda Yochanan, shedra shel lulav, that it, the shedra, not just the lulav, the top, but the spine of the lulav, tzorach sheyetzim and hadas tefach, has to go out from the hadasim a tefach, and that's when it's a kosher lulav. So he has a much higher lulav, because you start measuring it by the shedra. There are a few ha'aris here that are negei la'alocha l'maisa. First of all, the Gemara seems to change the lashon. First, the Gemara speaks about the hadas and the arava, and then the Gemara says just the hadas. Why? So the Paiskim say, from here we see that the hadasim and the aravas should be the same size. So first the Gemara says the hadas and the arava should be both sides, which normally the aravos are much longer than hadassim, and what you should do is you cut the aravos, they should be equal in size to hadassim. But then the Gemara only uses the hadassim. Why? Because we have that the minig is the hadassim are higher than the aravos. We leave the hadassim a little higher than the aravos, so we measure the tefach of the lulav. It should be a tefach above the higher one, which is the hadassim. Tanan asked the Gemara, here we're saying that the lulav has to be four tfachim. Tanan lulav sheesh by gimel tfachim kedei lananei by kosher. So it said our Mishnah three tfachim. Here we're saying four tfachim. Answers the Gemara, ukedei lananei by. It has to have a tefach to shake it above the three tfachim that the adasim the robbers take. Makadasle. One man dhamma says that we measure the three tfachim in the top above the shedra, or makadisle, that the shedra has to be a tefach above the adasim and aravos. Ask the Ritzkeis. Why doesn't the Gemara just say, very simple, that the lulav has to be four tefachim, and the aravos and the adasim have to be three tefachim? So he says, very important. He says, the Gemara here is saying that the lulav has to be a tefach more than the adasim and aravos. So let's say you'll have adasim and aravos that are long. Your adasim and aravos are four tefachim. Then your lulav will have to be five tefachim. It's not that the lulav is an absolute four tefachim. The lulav has to be a tefach above the adasim and aravos. And that's the halach l'maisa. Ask another point they make from here. From here we see that nanuim doesn't mean just shaking, moving the lulav. You have to shake it. What do we see? Because we see that you have to have the tefach. Why do you need the tefach? The tefach means that you should be able to shake it. If you just would have to pick it up and move it, so what's the difference? Ask the Mefarshim, we're going to learn later in the Perek that al pidin, you don't have to shake all four minim together. If somebody would pick up the esrog itself, the lulav itself, the dasim themselves, the rovas themselves, the kosher. So what are we so worried about the nanuim if the nanuim are not essential? So Mefarshim answer, even if we'll say, that is the halacha, that the nanuim are not essential, it has to be a lulav that could be shaken. What kind of a lulav could be shaken? A lulav that's a tefach higher than that of a rovis. If it doesn't have the ability to be shaken, then it's a possible lulav. Toshma shira das v'rova shloisha v'lulav arba. The das and rovis have to be three tefachim and the lulav four. My la bahadi alan. So we see that we measure the tefach with the leaves, not with the shedra. So tomorrow, loy levad malim. It needs a tefach of the shedra above the alim. There's no, above the adasim and aravos. There's no definitive proof. Gufa, shiv adas v'aravos shloisha, v'lulav arba. Rav Tarfon amar, v'amam bas chamisha tefachim. Says the Gemara, the Rav Tarfon says that the adasim and aravos have to be five tefachim. Amar rava, harale marile Rav Tarfon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Meichler of Tarfin. He should give, forgive Rav Tarfin for saying this. Hashta Ovis Shalosh Loi Meshkechinen. It's hard to find Hadassim that are kosher, that are three Tfachim. Bas Chamisha Miboya. So it can't be that you should have to take Hadassim that are five Tfachim long. Ask the Aruch HaNer. What kind of Gemara is this? So it's hard. Every mitzvah is so easy to be makayim that the Gemara is saying that because the Gemara Rav is saying because it's hard, so then he can't be right. So it's hard. So we'll have to take off a few days from work and find hadassim that are five tefachim long. Says the Aruch Lener, beautiful pshat, that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose these four minim to be used for the dalam minim? Because these four minim were very available. That's why from all the minim, all the things that grow, they dafka took these four minim. Now, if it's going to be so hard to find kasher adasim, then it would be against why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took those minim. So it must be that that doesn't mean that the adasim have to be five tefachim. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? Kios Rav Dima Omer, Ama bas shesh tefachim. We take an Ama, which is six tefachim, asay osoy lulav. We take an Ama, six tefachim, and divide it into five parts. So normally a tefach is 1/6. Here the tefach will be 1 1/5. That we should have 5 into 6 equals 1 1/5. Kama havelhu. So how long are the adasim have to be? Tlasa v'tlasa chumshi. So not that they have to be three tefachim. They have to be 3 3/5 tefachim. not as machlokes rishonim. So now we're saying that the hadassim and the rovos have to be 3 3/5, because we take the 5 tefachim and divide it into 6. Ask the machlokes rishonim. We said that the lulav has to be a tefach above the hadassim and rovos. What tefach would that have to be? Well, we say that the lulav has to be a tefach and a fifth above the hadassim. If the hadassim have to be 3 3/5, then the lulav has to be 1 1/5 above them. Or for the lulav being above the hadassim, the regular tefach will be enough. Machlokes rishonim. Ask the Gemara, Kash the Shmuel, the Shmuel. We have the contradiction of Shmuel. Hachamar of Yudam Shmuel, Shir Hadassah, Rava, Shloishit. Here he says that it has to be 3 tefachim. Bahasim Amar of Unamar of Shmuel, Halach Krab Tarfin. And according to Krab Tarfin, we just said that Hadassah and the Ravas have to be 3 3/5. So the Gemara, why duck? He wasn't exact. It really means 3 3/5. He rounded it off to 3. Ask the Gemara, Amid Amrina Loidok, when do we say that he's not exact? L'chumra, L'kula mi Amrina Loidok, here it comes out of Kula, that it's really supposed to be 3 3/5, and he says 3. Says the Gemara, different pshat. Kios Rovan, Ame bas chamisha tfochim, asei yisai shisha. Just the opposite. Take an Ame, which is 5 tfochim, and divide it into 6. Meaning that normally we're saying that you have to take a half Ame. So if you measure an amma, 3 tefachim is normally a half an amma. So till now, if you measure 6 tefachim, how much is half an amma? 3 tefachim. So comes along Rav Tarfon and says you don't have to have half of a 6 tefach amma, which will make the hadassim the rovis 3 tefachim. You have to only have a hadassim rov of a half of a 5 tefach amma, which means that hadassim the rovis will only have to be 2.5 tefachim. Kios Rav Amma Amma Bas Chamisha Tfachim Aseyus and Shisha. Same man Shol Shladas Shalulov. Half, which is 2 Tfachim, are the amount for the Dasim and the Ravis, and a Tefach above that have to be for the Lulav. Ask the Gemara Kama Havlu. So according to the way we're explaining now, how tall the Dasim and Ravis have to be? 2.5 Tfachim. Soif Soif. Ask the Gemara Kasha the Shmuel the Shmuel. Here Shmuel Paskin like Reb Tarfin. They were saying that Dasim have to be 2.5. And here he said it has to be 3. So the Gemara Loidok, he wasn't exact. Because really, 2.5 is enough, and he rounded it off to 3. Damar Rav Huna Mishmul, Halak Krav Tafin. Asked Aruch Haner, this is a Chumra that'll come to Akula. Because according to what we're learning now, Shmuel really holds how tall does the Hadassim have to be? 2.5 Tfachim. So Shmuel is teaching us that if you take Shmuel rounds it off to 3. Ask Aruch Haner, what's going to happen? Let's say I'll only have Hadassim and Aravis that are less than 3 Tfachim. They're only 2.5 tefachim tall. So if I follow what Shmuel says, I won't use them. But really, they're kosher. So by Shmuel telling me that they have to be 3 tefachim, I end up not using the aluminum, which are really kosher. So the Emek Sukkis answers that the halacha is that even if you don't have hadassim that are 3 tefachim, or you don't have kosher hadassim, use what you can. Maybe don't make a bracha. So in Mela, it's not a problem anyway. What's the Aruch Haner worried about? That I'll have Hadassim that are only 2.5 tefachim tall, and I won't use them, even though Shmuel holds that they're really kosher. It wouldn't happen. Because the halach is, if you don't have kosher minim, use what you have. Says the Mishnah, Hadass HaGozel, if Hadass is stolen, it's possible. So the Mefarshim ask, we already learned the first Mishnah of this parak, the Lulav HaGozel is possible. So why do we have to say it again by HaGozel, by Hadassim? So one answer is, since we're going to learn different halakas that apply to the hadassim that didn't apply to the lulav, so the Mishnah lists all the psulim on the hadassim. Another answer is that we shouldn't make an error. That when the Mishnah says lulav, many times when the Mishnah uses the word lulav, it means really all three minim, the lulav, hadassim, and rovis, because they're tied together. So one would think that when the first Mishnah said Lulav HaGozel is possible, you know what it means? When you have the Lulav and Hadassim HaRavis. But maybe the Lulav itself is not, HaGozel is not possible. Teaches us the Mishnah that even if you have the Lulav alone, it's Gozel. Or the Hadassim alone, the Gozel. Or the HaRavis alone, a Gozel, a possible. A third teretz I saw is usually, again, not necessarily in our world, but usually Hadassim are not expensive. So it's not even Shavu Pruta. So maybe there shouldn't be a problem of hadas hagozel, because it's not worth a pruta. Teaches us the Mishnah that any hadas, as inexpensive as it is possible. Vayovesh, a hadas that's dried out, it's possible. So just like we had a machloikis in the Mishnah by Lulav, what yovesh means, we have the same machloikis here. Some Rishonim say yovesh means that it's so dry that when you it's brittle. Another pshat is that it loses the color. But it's very interesting, the Mefarshim make the observation. By a lulav, the lulav becomes brittle much after it loses its color. First it loses its color, and then it becomes brittle. So the shear of brittle is a kula. By hadassim, it's just the opposite. It becomes brittle before it loses the color. Shalashera, and lulav from that was an avodah zarah, the shiler in Idachas, that's a city that all served avodah zarah and everything has to be burnt. Posel. Nikdam roishay. If the top of that das is broken off, the Mefarshim explained that means that the wood part, not the leaf. The Mefarshim also say that when we say hadas hayovish, it refers to the leaves, not to the wood. Although the Mefarshim say l'chatchilu, we shouldn't use hadasim that the stalk is dry. Nifritzu alav. Rashi says that the leaves fell off. Other Rishonim say that the leaves are there; they just split. Oishaya nova merubas ma'alav. Many times, as we see in diagram 165, that dasim grow with berries. So if there's so many berries, it's possible. V'miyatan, but if you remove those berries, kosher. V'imamatin b'yontif. But you're not allowed to remove the berries on Yontif, because removing them on Yontif is misakin mana. You're not allowed to do tikkun mana on Yontif, it's makav patish. The Pais can point out that one of the differences, based on what we learned today, between a lulav and a dasim and a rovis, is by a lulav, we learned a bent lulav is possible. There is no such psul by dasim and a rovis. A dasim and a rovis, even if they bend over, are kosher. Tan Rabbanan. And the Torah speaks about anaf eitz avos, shenofef chayfus eitzof. Again, like we go back to our Rambam, we know with a Messiah that hadassim are the hadassim that we use. But again, the Gemara is trying to prove how do we know that from a pasuk. So the Gemara avos means shenofef chayfus eitzof, that the leaves cover the wood. Veizuzeh have aimazah hadass. It's the hadass. Ask the Gemara of aimazesa. Maybe it's olive leaves, which also covered a stick. Be'in ovis aleka. Ovis means that it looks braided. As we'll discuss soon, that the three leaves come out together. That doesn't exist on the olive leaf. Ask the Gemara, ve'im dova. Answer the Gemara, be'in anofif choifimus eitzof. We need that the leaves should cover the wood, v'leka. Which we'll see in diagram 166. This is a very important halacha, because everybody, when they look at hadassim, keep on looking that they should have three leaves. They forget to look for another halacha, that one leaf should reach the next leaf. If the leaves don't reach the next leaf, it's not considered enough of chayfus eitzoy, it's not kosher. Rav Chaim Briska says there's two dinim and enough of chayfus eitzoy. One is in the length that they have to reach, and the other din is that they have to encircle the wood. So let's say you'll have leaves that there's a space between the leaves, says Rav Chaim Briska, that also is not enough of chayfus eitzoy. And Rav Chaim Briska is makpid at kedei kach. He says it's not pshat that that's not lechatchila. He says that's not a hadas. Veim hirduf, perhaps it's the hirduf tree. Amar baya derche darchinoyim veleko. The hirduf tree has these thorns, and therefore you can't use it. Ravam mahocha ahav haemes. Vasholem avu. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that emes vasholem avu means that the hirduf tree is a poisonous tree, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not tell us to use for a mitzvah something which is poisonous. The Aruch HaNer explains the Gemara according to Rashi like this: Sholem is one of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. HaEmes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is emes, Sholem Avu, loves peace. and will not tell us to use a min which is poisonous. Oh, that's Tysus Kasha. So Tysus says that it's certainly not poison. If it was poison, it goes without any question. Tysus says that Rav and Abaya agree that the problem with the hirduf is that it's thorny, but they learn it from different psukim. Abaya learning it from the pasuk of Dakar Dachinoyam, and Rav learning it from the pasuk of Emes Vashal Ma'avu.